Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to take the opportunity to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. What a joy it is to be with you today and to share from the Word of God. 45 years ago today, this day Tuesday, June the 6th, 2023, 45 years ago, I came back to the Lord and committed my life to Him. I don't regret 1 mile. In spite of the many days of adversity, trials, persecution, temptation, whatever they may have been, I don't regret serving the Lord, selling out, committing wholly to Him 45 years ago. You know, it's great to walk with God. And as we witness world events, it is truly imperative that we seek to walk with God more than ever before. You know, I know my grandparents thought the Lord would come in their lifetime. My grandparents, or I should say my parents, believed the Lord would come in their lifetime. And of course, my grandparents and parents are deceased, gone on now. And I too have believed I would see the Lord come in my lifetime. That possibility does exist, greatly so. But nevertheless, God has His hand on the throttle, and He will return at the appointed time. I may be alive, I may not. I've accepted the fact I will go on to be with the Lord before He actually comes back to the earth. Because I do believe there will be a third world war. I do believe there will be 10 Muslim kings and kingdoms that will arise. And when the Antichrist is finally revealed, it is a revelation to the church, the body of Christ. A backslidden world, an indifferent world, sinners who have never known God, don't understand the Scriptures. They won't have a clue what's going on. And as more and more ministers and ministries fail to preach the Word of God, we're raising up a generation that knows nothing about God, knows nothing about Bible prophecy. They have no idea what to look for. So they're going to be totally unsuspecting of anything. If we are alive and we see the Antichrist reveal Himself at the temple, set up the abomination of desolation, well, you know there's 42 months left and that's it. This is why we have to scrutinize, examine the Scriptures, and we have to give an account for those Scriptures. You know, we have to reconcile all of God's Word, and that's not always easy to be done. But just like on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." He recognized the event by the Scriptures. In other words, when what happened took place, he was reminded of Joel's prophecy there in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Thus he says in Acts 2 and 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And so as you and I watch prophecy unfold, there will be events that will take place, and we can allude to that being the Scriptures and giving us a prophetic time mark. Just like Matthew 24:15, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet Most of your Bibles will then have in parentheses, whosoever readeth, let him understand. That is in parentheses in the King James. So there has to be understanding of the scriptures. That's exactly what Daniel said in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. He understood the time frame by Jeremiah. So he says in Daniel 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, meaning Darius, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he came to understand. Now, I believe that was not what you would call just natural understanding. He was unctioned through the Holy Spirit of God to understand and see things from God's lens, from God's word, from the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So we have things to understand. And as you aggregate and you collect, as Daniel did reading Jeremiah's writings, he said, I came to understand. I understood the number of the years. And so as events and things take place, as I've said many, many times, what better time for the Antichrist to reveal himself than at Passover, spring of the year at the Temple Mount? And he will reveal himself declaring he is God and by stopping the daily sacrifice. That again is Daniel chapter 9. He stops the daily sacrifices in the middle of the week. That's why I don't advocate and appropriate a seven-year scenario. It's mainly 3.5 years. It's the last 3.5 years. I believe Christ got the first half of Daniel's 70th week, and the Antichrist gets the last half. And put the two together, you have a seven-year period. And so, as we see things unfold, and we know the scriptures, then we're going to be able to put things together in their correct order. And so people are running around trying to identify the Antichrist, and they've done that for years and years and years, hundreds of years. People thought Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. A lot of similarities there. Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple in the days of the Maccabees and desecrated the temple by pouring pig broth over all the holy sacred implements. But he was not the Antichrist. That was a deed that was Antichrist, but not the man of sin, the son of perdition. Judas Iscariot was Antichrist. He too is called the son of perdition, but not the man that will come. Judas never said he was God. But the Antichrist, the man of sin, will say he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's going to say, hey, I'm God. A lot of men think they're God. This man will think he's God, whoever he is. He's going to think he's God. But Paul said Christ will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. So this is why it is imperative, great need, great imperative, that we go by the word and nothing else. Why? Because heaven and earth is going to one day pass away, but Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. God's word will abide forever. Amen. I want to play a song by the Isaacs today, a beautiful song entitled Sweet Holy Spirit, not the old Sweet Holy Spirit song, but I don't know if they wrote this song or not, but it is a powerful, powerful song. And it's a little bluegrass, you might say. I pray it'll bless you today, sweet Holy Spirit. Amen.
God's word so true. Sweet Holy Spirit is promised to
the words of the psalmist David. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. No doubt, tragically, God has left a lot of people. Why? Because they chose to leave him. they would not embrace him. I know 45 years ago this night, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, if you do not repent, return home, I will never deal with you again. People don't believe that God gives ultimatums, but God does give ultimatums. He said to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 2 and 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You don't want God holding anything against you. And here's what he said. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. I had fallen. I had backslid. I had went back on God. Thou art fallen and repent and do the first works or else. See, we don't like that or else. Sometimes our parents gave us an or else disposition. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except that repent. You don't want God to take the candlestick, the light of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Don't take that, David said. Don't take that from me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That is so true. I want to go back today and briefly look at Isaiah 3 verse 11. I want to talk about government for just a few minutes. Isaiah 3:11, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him, or shall be done unto him. America does not have godly government. You know it. I know it. The whole world knows it. But America no longer has even remotely a measure of godly government, which then never allows them to do the right thing. There is such abuse in the leadership of America. Things that are done that are absolutely unconstitutional, trying to enact law, legislation through executive orders, giving the IRS $80 billion and hiring 87,000 agents. These are all evil entities to harm and do more damage and to become more tyrannical tyranny in this nation. And there are those who advocate Romans 13. I want to briefly address that passage. Romans 13, verses 1 through 3, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. But we all know today, if we're honest, there is nothing fundamentally good about our government. They prosecute who they want to, and others get a pass. We see it every day in America. especially if you have the money, you can buy a particular type of treatment in a judicial matter if you have the money. If you don't, you're punished. But if you have the wherewithal, you can get by because you buy your way out of trouble. Yes, the Bible does say, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. That was the conflict with Pilate as he's talking, conversing with Christ. You see, Pilate thought he was the man. He says to Christ, and I'm paraphrasing here, don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know whose court you are in? Don't you realize, pal, where you are? I can do anything. I'm Pilate. I have dominion, authority, lordship here in Jerusalem through the Roman government. Pilate questioned Jesus, and Jesus, of course, did not respond like Pilate thought he should for fear of the government. He approaches Christ there in the 19th chapter of John, verse 9, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not to me? You're not going to speak to me? You're not going to answer me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Hey, pal, don't you know who I am? I love what Jesus said in John 19, verse 11. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that hath delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus said, the only reason you're able to do what you're doing is because the Father has allowed this. When they arrested Christ in Luke 22, verse 53, I believe it is, if I remember correctly, he said to them that came to arrest him, he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. This is a parenthetical time where God has allowed you to have this authority, because I must go to the cross. You've been given this hour, not 60 minutes, but is a parenthetical time. Thus Pilate says, you're not going to answer me? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you? I have power to release thee? Notice how he uses the word power. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? He's saying, hey, I got power, man. And you're not going to answer me? But in the wisdom of Christ, who is God, he said, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Governments get by with tyranny because God has allowed it. Do we not believe that God could have stopped Hitler? That God could have not shut him down? He could have had an ischemic stroke paralysis, fall over dead. Coronary thrombosis, massive heart attack, dead. Cerebral hemorrhage, dead. But see, God allows this kind of wicked government to exist because of who the people have become. This is why we need national repentance. This is why no matter what our government says, no matter what our Supreme Court says, no matter what our Congress, Senate, both houses, no matter what they say, if America would begin to repent of her sins, God would deal with the wicked government. But for the most part, they're all complicit. They cover each other. They look out for each other. Righteous leaders do the right thing. And when they do the right thing, they should be thanked for doing so. Joe Manchin was deceived and duped and manipulated on the Inflation Reduction Act. There are so many hundreds of billions of dollars in that legislation. It's all about controlling America through electrical vehicles and things of that nature. I read or heard the other day, there is so much lithium in Ukraine. That's why the war is taking place over there. As Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, nothing in politics just happened. It was designed that way. It was planned that way. The corruptness, the bribery, the dishonesty, how there's no accountability. Lois Lerner retired and was never questioned again about badgering conservative groups that wanted to get a 501c3, a 501c4. She wouldn't let them have them. That was Obama's Jezebel of the IRS. Government. If it's of God, it's great. But see, because of our corruptness in this nation, God says, I'm going to give you the leaders that you deserve. Righteousness in America is maligned. Paul said rulers are to never be a terror to good works. Rulers are to be a terror to evil works. Our national leaders fought and are fighting Donald Trump because he's upsetting the apple cart. You can see those, how they speak one way one day, and how they speak another way another day, because they put their finger, they wet their finger, stick it up in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. I thought about William Barr. We all remember William Barr, the Attorney General under Donald Trump that we thought would really do some good things. And I thought, his last name, William Barr. You see, in a courtroom, the bar represents the railing in the courtroom, separating the general public from that part of the room occupied by the judges, the jury, and attorneys. It is railing. It is a bar. One side, one group is on one side, the other group is on the other side. Lawyers are considered officers of the court. Why? They have been licensed. They have legal authority. They get into things and they object. And the judge says overruled or sustained or whatever the case might be. because lawyers, attorneys are officers of the court. But see, everything is being twisted. Everything is being sullied and soiled. It's amazing how that this leak concerning Roe v. Wade was leaked before it was publicly announced by the United States Supreme Court. And to this day, we don't know where the leak came from, but led a 21-year-old kid in the Air Force Reserves spew out online a few details about what's going on in Ukraine. Man, they brought that kid down so quick. And what are we into a year now? Still don't know where the leak came from the Supreme Court. You see, that shows you how corrupt things are. You can do something on this side, but you can't do something on that side. And here's what we need to remember as Christians. We need to remember as Christians that God is in control. Just as Jesus had to remind Pilate, you don't have any power except it were given you. Pilate did not know that Christ could no doubt call down 12 legion of angels. That is 72,000 angels. One angel destroyed 185,000 Syrians in one night. 72,000 angels times 185,000 comes up to something like 13,300,000,000. That's not all of God's angels. That's just, he said, I can call down 12 legion of angels if I so choose and deliver myself. That doesn't mean he's calling all of them, just some of them. And one angel destroyed 185,000 Syrian soldiers one night. 185,000. So using that same number, over 13 billion, twice the population of the whole earth in one night, we know God could destroy it. And I know it bothers we Christians. And we're saying some of the same things. How long, O Lord? That faction in Revelation. How long before you avenge us of our blood? And of course the angel says you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Others are going to be martyred like you were. But judgment is coming. The judgment of God is coming. The judgment of God is impending. The judgment of God will come. Every time Donald Trump would try to do the right thing, send soldiers or military to shut down the riots or whatever in the land, they said, no, don't do that. They harnessed him. They controlled him. They sought to manipulate him. I mean, let's face it. When you're a novice, you've never done the job before, and you try to put some measure of trust in those around you, but they don't do the right thing. They sabotage you. They hinder you. They encroach. They impede that which you're trying to do relative to righteousness. Yes, they do. The dishonesty from all of the so-called intelligent agencies and their leaders signed a letter. This is disinformation, Russian disinformation. And all the stuff that's come out, Blinken was involved. Another CIA director was involved. You hear all of these things. And our government wonders why we question them. And see, we don't know. God knows. We don't know hardly anything that's going on. I mean, five times the Pentagon was audited. They failed the audit every time. $80 billion worth of equipment left in Afghanistan. There's no record. They're not keeping up with material being sent to Ukraine. It's into the hundreds of billions of dollars. And, of course, they claim it's a proxy war relative to Russia. And we're at a state and a place wherein without the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, we're not going to know anything that's true. Even Jesus said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. When you read that in the Greek, what it's literally saying is, it will be impossible for the elect to be deceived. That's what that statement is. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. But in the Greek, that means it is impossible for the elect to be deceived. And without Christianity, salt and light in the heart of people, their tendency is to fall into corruption. It is the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God living in you that demands you live a godly life. It demands you tell the truth. And in the world which we live in, telling the truth will get you in trouble. Simple things. You get pulled over by a highway patrolman. Did you have your seatbelt on? I forgot to put it on. Well, I'm going to write you a ticket for that too. And we say in our mind, well, I have been better off to have lied. And in essence, that's true. But here, the point is, if you seek to do the right thing, so it's the law to wear a seatbelt. You do the right thing. The man asks you, did you have your seatbelt on? Yes, I did. Then that nullifies his attempt to write you a citation for not wearing a seatbelt. We all know of situations and circumstance where there has been corruption, there has been dishonesty, there has been a perversity, there has been a manipulation of the truth. This is why they brag, federal prosecutors brag, I haven't lost a case. What they do, they get the criminal to plead to a lesser crime, and so they mark that up as a win. And then they have the audacity to run around and say, I've never lost a case. But how many did you lessen and get the criminal to accept a lesser deal, lesser punishment, if they will admit to this or that? I didn't know this till some time ago. It's all right to use lying techniques in investigations. What they're trying to do is incriminate you. I remember I was 12 years old. This is the weekend where Martin Luther King was assassinated. We had went to church that night. I was 12 years old. That was the first time I was arrested. I was 12 years old. 12 years old. But my older brother, who had just gotten his license, and two other guys were with us. We'd left church and we're just kind of riding around, perusing the streets in Mooresville. And we heard a ruckus and we went over to see where it was. And it was a liquor store. Somebody had thrown a lead pipe through it and busted out the glass. That's what they were afraid of because of Martin Luther King's assassination. And they had the hound dogs out, and we pulled up, and we got out just to look and see what's going on. And here comes the bloodhounds, and they jump up on my brother's car, barking, going on. And the man said, here's your criminals. They came back to the crime scene. These boys right here, this is it. And so they arrested us, took us to jail, put us all in different rooms. I'm 12 years old. And one of the guys, the detectives, came in my room, and he said, well, listen, son. He said, your brother and the other two guys have admitted y'all throwed the pipe through the glass window. He said, you might as well admit it, too. I said, I don't know what they're admitting to, but we didn't throw no pipe through no glass window or plate window. We didn't do that. But he said, they admitted to doing it, so you might as well go ahead and admit it yourself. But then the brother that was the captain of the fire department in Mooresville, they brought in firemen because they didn't know how much ruckus, how much rioting might take place. So when he comes into the police department, he steps in and sees me in the room. He says, what's going on? I'm just a kid. I said, well, they locked us up, said we throwed the lead pipe through the glass plate glass window there at the liquor store. And he goes out in the hall, and I hear him talking to one of the detectives. He said, those guys were just in church with me around an hour ago. There's no way they could have done that. But I thought about the lying. A police officer who's supposed to be doing the right thing comes in there to me as a 12-year-old child and says, your brother and your friends have confessed it. You might as well, too. He was lying to me. Manipulation. Yeah, it's kind of funny to me now to think at 12 years of age, I was actually arrested and not put behind bars, but I was arrested, locked up. But I thought, man, you guys are dishonest. This is back in the early 60s. As I said, I didn't learn until some time ago. That's okay. In criminal law, if you can get someone. And I thought, that's been 50-plus years ago. How much worse is it now? So when you look at those who are in government, we have to say to ourselves, it's a Babylonian system. It is corrupt to the core. But that does not exempt you and I from doing the right thing. We still have to do the right thing, though we're working and operating in the confines of evil. We must continue to do the right things. That's righteousness. And what kind of a world would we be living in, and what kind of a world would we have if everybody was doing the right thing? But they're not. They're not. It's amazing how, you know, we get bits and pieces of this circumstance or situation. You know, like all the guys having the secret documents at their residences, et cetera, Biden, Trump, Pence. I'm not saying they were right or they were wrong. I'm just saying, how is this, how does it look? Of course, Trump, being the actual president, has the right to declassify. That's one of the authorities he has. Of course, Pence and Biden, neither one had that authority, but the president does, to declassify whatever. So the whole world in general is convoluted. And you mark these words. Mark these words this day, here in June. As the Lord tarries, it's going to become more arduous and more difficult to know the truth every day. They're going to abuse the truth in such a manner, in such a way, it's going to be almost impossible without the leadership of the Holy Spirit to know the truth about anything. You're going to question everything because there is so much deception and so much duplicity. You know, the new rhetorical jargon statement is, what's conspiracy today, 6 months later, is the truth. It was the truth all along. It's just they lied and they manipulated and they twisted it and said, no, it's not. But then there's a document, there's an email, there's a text, there is this audio or this video or whatever. It comes out that it was the truth, but they said, no, it's not true. And I'm telling you, as that spirit of error, that spirit of dishonesty, that spirit of untruthfulness is going to grow exponentially here in the time of the end. And that was the very reason. That's the reason Jesus said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. They're going to do everything they can to deceive everyone. Remember the spirit of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him who's coming is after Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Now, God is going to compound this thing. Listen to me. God is going to compound this thing. When you've got the spirit of Antichrist that's going to lie, let me quote that again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It is a lie. It looks wondrous, but it's a lie. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish. Why will they be deceived? Why are they unrighteous? Why will they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And here's where God compounds it in verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They continue to live an unrighteous and ungodly, wicked life. God says, I'm going to send you a strong delusion. A strong delusion. This is why the end times are such a dangerous time. It is a dangerous time. Why? Because there is so much deception, so much duplicity, so much chicanery, so much trickery. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But the good news, it is not possible because of God's Holy Spirit having a place of residence in your heart and in your life, because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. God is going to bring delusion. Delusion. Isaiah 66, verse 4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil. They did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. The way, the nature of a sinner is to go in the exact opposite direction than the way of God. God's way leads to truth. God's way leads to righteousness. God's way is always the right way, and it will be nothing less than the right way. Psalms 25 and verse 10. All, listen to me, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What does that mean exactly? You live a godly, righteous life. God will lead you into the right paths. And David says here in Psalms 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Psalms 23:3, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The only path that God is going to lead you and I is into a path of righteousness, and all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. There is no path, there's no venue, there's no avenue wherein that God will take you that will not be full of truth and righteousness. Any other path is an evil path. It's not a good path. It is an evil path. And God is trying to lead all of us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God wills and seeks to lead every one of us in a path of righteousness. That's the heart of God. God is not going to take anybody into a path that is evil, that is destructive, that is wicked. That's not the kind of God that we serve. God is always going to lead you and I in the right way. Here's the problem. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Twist a little, shade a little, lie a little, manipulate a little. You're no longer in the paths of the Lord. For the paths of the Lord are full of mercy and truth and righteousness. That's where and how God leads us. So my point is this. This is a Babylonian corrupt system. You're going to have to work at keeping your hands clean. You're going to have to work to keep your heart pure. This is not going to be easy, folks. The hour in which we're living in is going to demand you seek to do that which is right, and it won't always be easy to do that which is right. You hear me? It is not going to be easy to do that which is right. You will have to work at doing that which is right. Because Satan wants all of us to always do that which is wrong and evil. God says, I want you to do that which is right. Do the right thing. That's righteousness. Remember, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Look around. Look around at how quickly, 2 years after Donald Trump left office, look at us. Look at us. The dollar's collapsing. commercial real estate is in terrible, terrible, terrible trouble. Terrible trouble. Psalms 82:5, all the foundations of the earth are out of order. What does that? Sin. Sin is what does that. It's not righteousness, folks. Righteousness does not do that. I misquoted that, I believe. Psalms 82:5, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Why are they out of course? Because of sin. That's why. Sin. You can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on, but that little three-letter word, sin, is what causes all of us harm and damage and detriment and loss and ruination and ultimately brings the judgment of God. You know, it is true. The God that we serve is a good God. But it's like in the olden days when somebody got wounded and gangrene set in. They would have to amputate the limb if the person wanted to live. And there were those who said, I don't want to lose my limb. And the doctor would say, then you're going to die. Because this gangrene is going to eat you up. It's going to devour you. It's going to consume you. But today, we're full of gangrene. And seemingly, nobody realizes what the punishment, the devastation will be. It's going to be an amputation. We'll die in our sins. God bless you. Have a great week, what is left of it. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for remembering the voice of evangelism. God bless you. I'll see you next week. In the Lord Jesus, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.